All right, today is January the 18th, 2023. Our time is 8:50 p.m. Central Standard Time. Our devotion for today with Evangelist Lazelle Spencer, the Thankful Journey. Our topic tonight is dealing with wrong attitude the right way. Our scripture says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, all superficiality, naughtiness, and receive with meekness an engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. James 1 and 21. Today I would like to draw your attention to the word lay apart in the verse above. These words were taken from the Greek apotimi, apotimi, compound of the word apotimia. The word apo means away. And the word titimi means to place or to lay aside something. Lay something down. When these two words are compounded together, it gives a picture of someone who is laying something down at the same time he is pushing it far away. From himself. Therefore, his compound word means to lay something down and to push it far away and beyond reach. An example would be a person who is about to sinfully indulge in eating too much pie, but only realize what he is doing. So instead of living into extra, diving into extra piece of pie and eating it, he chooses instead to lay back on the table, and then he deliberately shoves it away from himself, lest he should overly indulge one time too many. He lays it down and he pushes it away. This is the idea of the word apotimi James used when he tells us to lay apart all filthiness in our lives. But there is another very important meaning to this word in the New Testament. In the New Testament time, the word apotimi was frequently used to describe someone taking off dirty clothes at the end of the day. How do you deal with dirty clothes at the end of the day? You take them off and put them away in the clothes hamper. Now, James used the illustration to explain you take them off and put them away in those dirty clothes hamper. That how we must deal with wrong attitude and actions in our own life. Just as you wouldn't go to bed in old set of filthy clothes, you have to decide to get rid of bad attitudes. James 1 and 21 could be interpreted to mean you must make the choice to remove those filthy, stinking garments from your life and permanently lay down, then deliberately push them away. Push them off out of your range forever. Also, it's important to realize that dirty clothes don't fall off the body by accident. To get them off, you have to push the button through the buttonhole, unzip the zipper, and slip the clothes off. Your arms and legs, one piece at a time. Dirty clothes don't automatically come off just because you realize they are dirty. They will come off only if you do something to remove them. This is exactly what James had in mind when he tells us to lay apart all filthiness from our lives. When James says lay apart the filthiness from our lives, he is telling us first acknowledge what is wrong, then to take appropriate measure to remove those areas from our lives. If you are going to get free and stay free, it won't happen by accident. You must start taking steps to remove those negative things from your life, to lay them down and push them so far away that you'll never be able to reach them again. Are you struggling with sin today? Does a wrong attitude keep trying to conquer your life? If so, you must begin and look at that sin or wrong attitude. Like an old set of dirty, filthy clothes that isn't worthy for you to wear anymore. Make the decision to step out of every destructive area of your life that has held you captive. Once you make that decision, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to carry it out. Our prayer for today, let us pray. Lord, help me to step out of the sins and bad attitude that have held me captive for so long. Help me know the right steps to take to remove these destructive and unworthy things. From my life, you want me to be free and desire, and I desire to be free with your help. I know I can permanently be set free from negative things, stepping out of them and pushing them so far away and not to pick them up again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what is our confession for today? As you're driving to work, as you're coming home, as you're preparing to go to sleep, whatever you're deciding to do, I want you to make your confession. I confess the word of God reveals those things, those areas in my life that are unclean and that need to change. Rather than act like a victim who cannot do anything about myself or my circumstances, today I start the process of acknowledging my sin and removing the attitudes and actions and sins that are unworthy of new creation. I am a new creature today in Jesus Christ's name. I can be free. I will be free. I will be all that God intended for me to be. I declare by faith in Jesus' name. So I want you to consider these things. Do you recognize wrong attitude or patterns of behavior in your life that you know that need to change? Are you willing to make the necessary adjustment to walk free from sin, attitude, habits, bondages that have been clinging to you? If the answer is yes, what steps do you need to take to start walking towards your freedom? In Jesus' name, somebody give God some glory. All right, we're going to close out listening to the music. Amen. Until we meet again, it is my desire to be back on tomorrow. God say the same with our devotion. Take the opportunity to share these devotions with someone else as they're blessing your soul. Share. And you know, as God put upon your heart, sow into Cash App $ Thankful Journey. Hello, it's District Missionary Lizelle Spencer, and we're doing our podcast about When the Shepherd Bleeds. And this is about the wounded pastor. It's so important for us as people of God to pray for our pastors. If you go on my Facebook page, you will find that I put on there the scripture about how God call pastors. It's a position that's not something that you're supposed to find on on Facebook or it's a call position by God. So we're going to get into the Word of God, and I'm going to read to you where it says pastors are called. And we're gonna open up the book of Jeremiah. Many people want to a lot of them want to get the position, but they don't understand the calling. I always remember when my husband received his calling. He was in revival in Mississippi, and he was in the back. It was at my grandmother's house, and he was in the back of the house, for like in the back room. And he came out as if he had seen a ghost, and he says, the Lord just spoke to me. And he told me what the Lord had said. And then the Lord gave him the name of the church. The Lord called him first. Then the Lord gave him the name of the church. And then after that, One day he called me, he was at work, and my husband is not an artist at all. And then the Lord had anointed his hands, and he began to draw. And the Lord drew the floor plan. And it didn't happen all at once, but it happened. And it happened. And it hasn't been easy. But we know that God called. And one thing about it is, the Lord has anointed him to teach and preach the gospel. Found himself faithful to Bible study, Sunday school, my. First John 3:22, and whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But I really want to encourage pastors because they've been wounded. They go through a lot. I grew up with a father who was a pastor, and I didn't see my father. I didn't know his troubles because he didn't come home and tell us his troubles. I didn't know those. I just knew that he took care of his house. The church, before members even came to start paying their tithing, my father had to pay the rent and of the church, and my mother, they worked together. She sold dinners. She cooked dinners, sold dinners. She had a candy store, snow cone. And she helped to raise money. And then they, back in the day, they had services where they would come together and fellowship. And the saints knew what the goal was. The goal was to come and help. And they belonged to an organization and a fellowship. Jeremiah 3:15. Says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you knowledge and understanding. And that's the word of God. And that's what he gives. And we pray for them, pray for our pastors. It's important that we pray for our leaders. And not only do you pray for your leaders, but you have to pray for their wives, their families, because they go through. It's not easy. it's not easy. And there are words, there are scriptures, and which we should be quoting, and that will keep us encouraged. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Number 6, verse 24 through verse 26. Yeah, God. Hallelujah. Just trying to get myself organized here. Thank you for sending our pastor to shepherd the church. I'm grateful for the love you put in the pastor's heart for you and for the people, for your people. I appreciate the unique gift and talent that enrich the pastor's ministry and bless our church. In Jesus' name, I pray. The eyes of a lamb. If you need a good boxing trainer, you don't want someone who has been sitting on the sideline. No. You look for a person who has been on the inside of the ring. As a boxer, you know that what it means to be subject to a trainer. He knows what it feels like to be knocked down and to get back up. He has also learned from experience how to guard the vital areas. The best football coach is the guy who can relate to what happened on the field. If he has been a player himself, he knows how it feels to be hurt, yet tape up his wounds on game day and help the team win. Like the boxing trainer, or the football coach, a shepherd must understand what it means to be a sheep. The best pastors are able to relate to their flock because they have seen the pasture, P-A-S-T-U-R-E, through the eyes of a lamb. As we near the end of the dispensation of grace, God is going to be asking a lot of his leaders. The greatest demand to be placed upon you as a pastor will be learning how to teach the people to meet the challenges of life. Perhaps the best way to do this is for you to become who they are for a season. so you can relate to what they are feeling. In other words, you as a God shepherd need to develop the eyes of a lamb. Developing a shepherd's heart. God allowed Moses, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, to lead his people out of Egypt. God sent Moses to the backside of a desert for 40 years. These were not years without purpose. And I remember my pastor teaching about that, that those years had purpose. He was teaching about that. While Moses tending to the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, he learned to look through the eyes of a lamb. Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Moses also learned that I am the great shepherd was the source of sustenance for the flock. Exodus 3, 1 and verse 13. God used these years of preparation to develop in Moses what he could only learn by being a shepherd. The same was true of King David. God's shepherd have a shepherd's heart. When God needed a king to replace Saul, God chose David, the one no one else would have chosen. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel again said unto Jesse, The Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. In 1 Samuel 16 chapter, verse 10 through 13. When Jesse's sons were asked to candidate for king, David was not invited. As the youngest, he was considered too immature for the job. In spite of the fact that David was an outcast in many ways, he had something special going for him. David had a shepherd's heart, and God knew it. David had proven himself in the way he cared for the sheep. Many times he had white blood from wounds that a lamb had suffered through a fall or from an attack of a lion. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion
and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing the faith defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Samuel 17, chapter, verse 34 through 37. David knew when to feed his sheep, when the flock became weary. David could find a good grazing spot and make them lie down in green pasture to find rest for the journey. Do you as a pastor know and understand your flock? Do you recognize the alleys, their fears? Do you know how to feed them with God's word? When to encourage them in their weariness? The heart of God is the heart for people. Glory to God. All right now. You just said something right there. We're going to pray and giving thanks. I want to encourage you to support and pray for your leadership. We pray now for leaders everywhere that's called by you, God, that you will strengthen them and word their mouths. Give them how to lead and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. And I say amen. Amen and amen and amen. All the glory, the honor, the praises all day, they belong to God. They belong to God. They belong to God. All the glory, the honor, the praises all day, they belong to God. Life can get you down. Seem like no hope can be our devotion for today is prayer.
The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. For the Lord come to give life.
For this thing I besought the Lord Christ.
All you gotta do is put it in God's hand.
He
can't help
and he shed unto me. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my spirit is made perfect in thee. 2 Corinthians 12:89. Perhaps you heard yourself pray this prayer in a moment of reflection. We are dealing with people. God, I cannot deal with all these people anymore. Please remove all the people from my life who make me lose my peace and joy. As long as you live in this world, you will have challenges in your relationship with people. That's just a part of dealing with human beings. The only way you can be free of challenges with imperfect healing is to die to mature and go directly to heaven. But if you intend to live a full life here on earth, part of the package includes living with people who are far from perfect and who do things that occasionally surprise and disappoint you. From Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12:8, it seems that he had prayed to be delivered. A problem on 3 different occasions. During his ministry, he wanted to be free of these people so desperately that he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Which means he
you deserve my worship. You deserve my praise. He pleaded, he begged, and he beseeched
that the other person to do something on his behalf. In using this word, Paul let us know that he had passionately ask God
you
to answer
my
this prayer. Paul had drawn as near to God as he possibly could. Being one, he was in that close position.
When I think
he
of
earnestly pleaded with God, asking him to deliver him from the thorn in his flesh and from the messenger of Satan that buffeted and constantly harassed him.
For saving me.
Oh, in his flesh, Paul tells us that he asked God
to
cause his
form
in the flesh to depart from him. The word depart means to remove. As a rule, it means to refer to people rather than things. The use of this word causes pain to be free of problems people. He is literally saying, God, I don't want to deal with these people anymore. I honestly ask you to please remove them from my life. But here is why God cannot fully answer this kind of thing. Even if God did remove this particular group of people that caused such trouble, it wouldn't be long until another group of problem people show up. As long as we live in this world, we will have to deal with people who don't enjoy and whom the devil tries to use to steal the joy and the peace. If we constantly focus on giving in to people we don't like or enjoy, we'll be prayed to be delivered from people for the rest of our lives. I said earlier, the only way for you to permanently be free from all imperfect people problems is to go home to be with the Lord. That is why the Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. The word sufficient, this is a Greek word that means to be satisfied, to give protection, power, and help. In later Greek, it denotes a man who possessed great financial means. The type of person was sufficiently endowed with huge resources. There were more than enough for him and for any endeavor he would ever attempt. Hence, he was financially strong or financially sufficient. This is precisely the word the Lord used when he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Oh, yeah, God. Oh, for thee. It was equivalent of the Lord saying, my grace is more than enough. Oh, glory. Oh, Jesus, to protect you, empower you, hey, glory, to help you deal with problem people you encounter in your life. You will find that my grace is completely satisfactory in meeting your needs, and that it will make you sufficiently strong dealing with these situations. Just like Paul, our glory to God. We may occasionally feel exhausted and incapable in our own strength to victoriously cope with troublesome people. Nonetheless, Lord, give us the strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The word strength in this verse comes from the Greek word dunamis. The word dunamis is power. This is strength that always releases sufficient power. Glory to God. And possesses the ability to take needed change. God knew that Paul needed a new soul, a divine power that would change his perspective and power him to successfully overcome his struggles with people. The Lord continued to tell Paul, and now he's telling us, my strength made perfect in weakness. The word weakness in the Greek, which describes a person who feels weak, distressed, unsettled, needy. If Paul was referring to physical sickness, as some assert, he would have used the word aspia, which she means physical. Amen. However, because Paul used the word in the verse, he confirmed to us again that he was talking about a physical sickness. Rather, he was referring to distressing, unsettling, emotional experience as a result of people who were constantly the source of conflict for him. The Lord knew that Paul felt insufficient in his own strength to successfully deal with these people. But if Paul would open his heart to God, the Lord, God's promise was that his strength would be made perfect in his weakness. Here is the answer that Paul and you and I need when we feel exhausted and deal with troubles and people and relationships. The word perfect is the word failure, which means perfection, completion, something that is mature. But the Greek tense used in this way is very important for us. It means that this inflow of supernatural spiritual power is not what God only does sometimes. It is power that God makes available at all times. We will only receive it. The verse could be translated, my power is constantly being perfected in you. Whenever you feel weak and needy, this verse could be taken to mean, my grace is more than enough for you. If you will receive it, you will find that it's sufficient and value with more than you need to deal with in any situation. My power is always on hand, available to help you in the moment when you're weak and needy. So the next time you feel,
let me tell you what it was, y'all.
Overwhelmed by people that I'm still here today, and are tempted to pray to be delivered from them. Remember that this is a prayer you really don't want God to answer, exactly like you asked. If He wants to truly remove you from problem people, He'll have to take you home there. But it's the only way you could ever be permanently free from people who cause challenges for you. It's all right to pray for others to be changed, but never forget that God wants to do a work inside you as well. He wants to change you so that you can successfully live in the midst of imperfect people. You will open your heart to receive what God has for you. He will fill you with His dynamic supernatural power, divine power, that will transform your thinking inwardly, fortify you to live successfully in this world. You'll be able to cope with the problems, people you have to deal with. And you'll do it all with joy, peace, and victory. God was strengthening you and helping you overcome your own weaknesses, making you sufficiently strong to handle every people challenge that ever comes your way. So instead of constantly asking God to remove all the problem people from your life, why don't you change the way you approach? Start asking God to release His power to change you so you can walk in peace and victory. Even when people fail or disappoint you, if you can learn to appropriate the power of God to deal with people, the devil won't be able to use people to steal your joy and victory anymore. Let us pray. Lord, I realize today, oh, glory to God, I've been praying the wrong prayer, dear God. I've been asking you to remove all the problem people from my life. Meanwhile, you've been wanting to reinforce with me. Reinforce me with sufficient strength to live with these people before us. Forgive me for wanting to run from my challenges. Help me to thirst in bravery and confidently in the power of the Holy Spirit. From this day forth, I know you want to give me power. I open my heart to receive it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I confess that God's grace is sufficient for me. When I feel distressed because of what people do to me, I turn to the grace of God and allow the Holy Spirit to fill me with sufficient power to love the unlovely and be patient with those who act ugly and walk in kindness and long-suffering with everyone. I encounter throughout the day my weakness in dealing with people disappears when I yield to the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Good evening. All right, God bless you. Amen. This is Evangelist Lazelle Spencer with Thankful Journey. Just want to encourage you. We're talking about today, transformative year of delight and discovery. There are years that ask questions and years that answer. Zora Neale Hurston. New Year's Day, a fresh start, a new chapter in life waiting to be written, new questions to be asked, embrace, and loved, answers to be discovered, and then lived in this transformative year of delight and self-discovery. Today carves out quiet interlude for yourself, which to be to dream, pen in hand. Only dreams give birth to change. What are your hopes for the future? As you reflect on the years to have passed, gradually, as you become creator of your own continent, you will learn to embrace the gentle yearning in your heart. But this year, instead of resolutions, write down your most private aspiration, those longings you have kept tucked away until the time seems right. Trust that now is the time. Ask the question. The simple abundance path brings confidence, but the answers will come and we will discover day by day how to live them. Take a leap of faith and begin this wondrous new year of believing. Believe in yourself and believe that there is a loving source, a soar of dreams, just waiting to be asked to help you make your dream come true. Loving questions. You only live once, but if you work it right, once is enough. Joe E. Lewis. How often in the past have you turned away from all that is unresolved in your heart because you feared questioning? But what if you knew that a year from today you will be living the most creative, joyous, fulfilling life you could imagine? What would it be? What changes would you make? How and where would you begin? Do you see why the questions are so important? Be patient towards that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the question themselves.
The German poet Rainer Maria writes, urges us, do not seek the answer which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. The answer to your question will come, but only after you know which ones are worth asking. Wait. Live your questions. Then ask. Become open to change. Changes that the answers will inevitably bring. This may take some time, but time is the New Year's bountiful blessing.
After trying lots of things to manage her IBS-C, things changed for Jill.
Bright mornings, starlight evenings, 52 promising weeks, 12 transformative months, full of beautiful possibilities, and 4 splendid seasons. A simple, abundant year to be savored.
All right. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn how Abby and Ironwood could help you save on Linzess.
Thank you.
say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way.
The bleeding shepherd today. Eyes of a lamb. If you need a good boxing trainer, you don't want someone who has been sitting on the sidelines. No, you look for a person who has been on the inside of the ring. As a former boxer, he knows what it means to be under subjection to a trainer. He knows what it feels like to be knocked down and get back up. He has also learned from experience how to guard the vital areas. The best football coach is the guy who can relate to what happens on the field. If he has been a player himself, he knows how it feels to be hurt, yet taped up, the wounds on game day, and help the team win. Like the boxing trainer or the football coach, a shepherd must understand what it means to be a sheep. The best pastors are able to relate to their flock because they have seen the pasture through the eyes of a lamb. As we near the end of dispensation of grace, God is going to be asking a lot of his leaders. The greatest demand to be placed upon you as a pastor will be learning how to teach your people to meet the challenges of life. Perhaps the best way to do this is for you to become who they are for a season, so you can relate to what they are feeling. In other words, you as God's shepherd need to develop the eye of a lamb. Developing a shepherd's heart. Before God allowed Moses, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, to lead the people of Egypt, God sent Moses to the backside of the desert for 40 years. These were not years without purpose. These were not years without purpose. Let's look at this. From the Apostle Paul's description of David, we learn three things. Number one, David was a man after God's own heart. In other words, he had a heart for people. David was a man who fulfilled God's will. He had a heart of obedience. Number three, David was a man of destiny, from whose seed
Israel's Savior would come. David became king. He never lost his identity with the Lamb. Although it was not the sovereign will of God for David to fall into the sin with Bathsheba. Through his fall, we can relate to the forgiveness, restoration, and mercy of God. We as leaders, pastors, are God's anointed shepherd, but we also have the authority of a lamb. We have power to slay the Goliath who defrayed the armies of God, and the potential to be enticed by the Bathsheba of our day. These identities allow us to have a unique relationship with God. And at the same time, help us to relate to the sheep. The frail side of pastors is seldom seen, but it is as much as a reality as a side of us. That rises to leadership. It is called humanity. Though David fell and was judged by God, God took what the devil intended for evil and brought good out of it. The seed of David produced another shepherd who would look through the eyes of a lamb. David had within the loins of a shepherd, Solomon. And David confronted Bathsheba, his wife. He comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went in unto her and lay with her and bare the son. And he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. 2 Samuel 12 and 24. Through the seed of Solomon came the lineage that would bring forth the great shepherd, the Savior Jesus. Matthew 1, 6 through 23. Within your soul is a seed that God intends to use to produce shepherds who will see through the eyes of a lamb, walk as a lamb, and experience life as a lamb. God plans to take the lamb you have shepherd produced from them shepherds, even as he promised through the seed of David. Jesus the Lamb, Christ the Shepherd. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. In this verse, there is both Jesus and Christ. Jesus was his earthly name, and Christ speaks to the deity and divinity. Jesus, whom John the Baptist referred to as the Lamb of God, knows the need of a lamb. John, first chapter,
verse 29. Yet as Christ, he is the chief shepherd. Who can attend to those needs? His ministry of the shepherdhood was preceded by his walk as a lamb. As a lamb, Jesus Christ could relate to humanity as a shepherd. He was greatly moved with compassion. Matthew 9, chapter verse 36. The nursery rhyme, "Mary Had a Little Lamb," reminds us of a remarkable truth. Mary really did have a little lamb. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. To help us understand how weary a lamb can become, Jesus endured a wilderness of temptation and was tempted in all points as we are. St. Matthew's, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 10. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all parts tempted like as we are, but without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Hebrew 4, chapter, verse 14 through 16. He walked through the storms to see how helpless a lamb can be and to feel the fear and despair. He saw the hunger and thirst of wandering souls whose long to come home to the outstretched hand of a loving Father. Jesus called the lamb but he understood the young man's dilemma, seeing it through the eyes of a lamb. St. Luke 15, chapter, verse 3 through 24. The most humbling and heartbreaking cries have never echoed on earth were the cries of a Lamb of God on a small, lonely hill called Calvary. Golgotha, a place of skull. We're talking about the bleeding shepherd, the Lamb of God. Have you ever heard the innocent, defenseless, bleating of a helpless lamb? That it tears at your heart. Jesus cried out on Calvary's mountain that day, causing the earth to convulse with sorrow. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli." That is to say, "My God, my God,
why hast thou forsaken me? St. Matthew's 27th chapter, verse 46. His cries from the cross still echoes in the souls of God's people who commit themselves to the ultimate will of God by dying to their flesh as a lamb. The best shepherd, God is calling a few good men and women to feed his flock and to do it faithfully. God did not call us to be judged, prosecutor, and accusers, but rather he called us to be shepherds. I am convinced that the best shepherds are those who look through the eyes of a lamb. Ministry is sometimes a demanding, it's so demanding that many pastors come to a place where they wonder, will I make it? Can I possibly go another step? You may be questioning where you are in ministry and why you face seemingly endless challenges. Keep in mind that you cannot understand how it feels to be poor if you have always been rich. You can never know what it means to have, to make it, if you have always had it made. Whatever you are going through in your life, it will make you a better pastor and a more sympathetic person. God wants you to develop a shepherd's heart. And he is doing that by allowing you to see through the eyes of a shepherd. Once you have been on the playing field and inside the boxing ring, you are able to relate to the struggle of those trying to win the prize. If you have experienced the trials and temptation of life, it makes you understanding and not nearly as judgmental. God allowed Jesus to become a shepherd of sheep so he could relate as a shepherd of souls. Why would he expect anything less of us? Okay, this is what I need you to do. In your own words, use Psalm 51 to form 5-point outline to aid a fallen pastor. And then explain how God is working in your life to produce the eyes of a lamb. So we're going to go to Psalm 51. Let's go there. I'm going to read the King James Version. That is the version of my preference. There's other versions out there, but I prefer the King James Version. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Seeing through the eyes of a lamb. And next, we're going to talk about when shepherds cry out. All right, this is Evangelist First Lady Lizelle Spencer. It is with great honor that I come to you to remind you of what the Word of God says. God's promises. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5:8.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and 9. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. St. John 3 and 17. I have not come to call righteous the righteous, but sinners to repentance. St. Luke 5 and 32. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. St. Luke 19 and 10. What the Bible has to say about the unsaved. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." St. John 3 and 6. No, 3 and 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. St. John 3 and 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who believes not will be condemned." St. Mark 16th chapter, verse 15 and 16. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. St. Luke 4, 18 and 19. This is the word of God. Be blessed. Live through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah.
Why did we choose
Just want more of you, Lord.